But I go to regularly scheduled doctor's appointments. As a matter of fact, a couple months ago, I went to one, and immediately when I got in there, the nurse pricks my finger and takes a sample of my blood and puts it in this machine, and then she quick runs out the door, and she's gone for about 5 minutes. And while that's happening, my blood sample is in this red box-shaped item, and it's making these clicking and whirring noises, and I start getting worried because I know that in 5 minutes, it's going to spit out a piece of paper, and it's going to tell me something about my health. And so I kind of sit there and I watch this machine do that stuff. And as I'm doing that, Mike, I feel my blood pressure rising. It's like, oh boy, what's my number going to be? Because, you know, it's going to come out here in a bit. What is it going to reveal some deficiency I have? Probably. Is it going to expose my poor eating habits? You know, a number can do that sort of stuff, right? Because, you've been... So I have to start rehearsing what I'm going to say to the doctor when he comes in there. Oh yeah, I'll do better next time. You know, I give him my line about that. The truth is, nobody wants to hear about deficiencies in our life. Whether it's our health, physical health, or maybe it's other parts of our life. Maybe it's a feedback we get from a job review. You know, sometimes you have to go through those, an annual job review, performance review, and they say, hey, these are the things that we thought you were good at. These are things that we want you to improve. These are, you're deficient in that area. Maybe you go to the ATM and you do a balance inquiry and you find out you're deficient in your funds. That's never a fun thing to do. So we recognize, and as we recognize and we see the deficiencies, that can be a huge blow to our ego. We have an ego. We don't want to be deficient. We want to be whole, filled up. But sometimes we're not. The blood sample comes back. Oh, I'm low in iron, maybe. Oh, but I've been eating my spinach, I tell him, the doctor. You're not getting enough work done. I work through lunch. I even work through my lunch hour. How come I not be getting my work? You're late on your rent. Well, don't blame me if I need my designer latte every morning on the way to work. The good news is when we discover a deficiency in our life, there may be a solution to it. Maybe we can fix our deficiencies. Thyroid underperforming? Take this pill. We'll get that straightened out. Low calcium levels. Hey, eat more broccoli. Not enough money at the end of the month. Invent a new month. Do something like that. I don't know. But having a deficiency can raise some real concerns, especially when it comes to our health. I asked Google once, I said, how much money do Americans spend in health supplements in order to fix our deficiencies? The answer came back, $35 billion. Is that even possible? I can't even imagine. Can't get my head around that amount of money. $35 billion we spend trying to enhance or get rid of our deficiencies. What if our deficiencies show up in the faith department, though? Spiritual department. So I'm talking about physical health and maybe financial health and that sort of thing. But what if it's spiritual health? Do we just ignore those deficiencies, hoping they will go away? Do we write them off maybe as, well, that's a personality flaw of mine, and I'm never going to change. That's who I am. Maybe we decide that our deficiency that we have, it's really insurmountable. It's debilitating, and I'm just going to throw in the towel and say, well, you know, there's no use in trying to change. To my knowledge, the magic bullet to cure our faith shortcomings has yet to be discovered. Yet Paul, in his writings to the Thessalonians, he speaks very highly of the church of Thessalonica, but he also says this to them, you are deficient in your faith. He says that. Night and day, we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. They are deficient. Do you sense, have you ever thought, hey, I'm deficient in my faith? Do you even care if that came across? To be clear, this isn't the only time Paul has detected spiritual deficiencies in Christians. In fact, his overriding purpose for any of his letters in the New Testament really come down to communicating with those people to bolster their faith. That's what he does. That's why he writes those letters. Here's a couple examples. One, Romans chapter 1, verse 11. I long to see you, you wonderful people in Rome at that church, because I want to impart to you some spiritual gift that'll make you strong. That is, that we can be mutually encouraging one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but you guys are more worldly. Mere infants in Christ, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You're still worldly. Deficient. They need a shot of faith. Galatians chapter 4. My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. How I wish I could be with you now and change my tone, because I am perplexed by you. That's Galatians, right? So he said, you started out really good on your faith journey, but then you got sidetracked. So Paul was perplexed by the Galatians. He was troubled by their way they had kind of walked away from their faith. He even says, I fear for you that somehow I have wasted my efforts on you. I spent time with you. I tried to encourage you. And was I wasting my time? Now the Thessalonians, now even though he said they were lacking some part of their faith, he was also very complimentary toward them. He goes, finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. So you're doing a good job living for God. Now I ask the Lord and urge you to do it more and more. But we cannot escape the fact that Paul is saying, hey, you need more faith. Why? Well, was it because they were new Christians? Talking about the Thessalonians. Was it because, yes, that's part of the reason. They were new Christians. They were young baby Christians. They needed more time to grow and mature up in the faith. That's true. That happens with us. When you're a young Christian, we want to help grow you up in the faith. Was it because they were missing their fearless leader? That's part of it too. Yeah, Paul gets, he spent some time places, then his time is abruptly cut short sometimes because of persecution or other things he has to go do. And so he's not there to instruct the believers in the weightier doctrinal issues that we had to wrestle with a little bit. So yeah, they're missing their fearless leader. They're young in their faith. Sometimes they're experiencing persecution and trials. That's why I prayed for the kids here today. Because, you know, going to school, that can be a real trial. Getting up in the morning, you know, getting your work done at night, you know, taking the other responsibilities you might have at home. You got to take care of that sort of stuff. So all the stuff starts piling up, and pretty soon maybe, you know, the kids explode after a while because it's too stressful. So here we see, and I talked about some contributing factors that can lead to deficiencies in our faith. Being a recent convert, lacking spiritual leadership and guidance from others, trials and tribulations. Now, I want to say this too about, when Paul uses the term faith, he's kind of using it in a broader sense than the faith we need to come to the Lord Jesus, okay? There's that initial faith. And it says, Paul even says in Romans chapter 10, he says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So that is an act of faith right there. To believe in your heart and to confess with your mouth, that brings salvation into your life. That's the initial faith we need. God gives us that faith. It takes faith to believe and to confess with your mouth that Jesus is who he says he is. And when we believe this truth, that God is our Savior and the Lord, we acknowledge it, we accept it. But here's the thing. We are not all of a sudden transported to heaven and that's the end. No, that is just the beginning of faith. Now we have to have the faith that's going to help us live a life on earth that is honoring and glorifying to God. So, in other words, the faith Paul is talking about when he writes to the Thessalonians and the Galatians and the Romans, it has a lot more to do with the conduct on earth than it does with our transport to heaven. We got that in the bag, okay? When Jesus died on the cross and we believed in that, we know that we've punched our ticket to go to heaven, to be with Him for all eternity by faith, okay? But we still have our whole life to live here on earth. So we got to talk about these practical earthly manners of honoring and glorifying God. The faith that moves us to live for God on a daily basis. And this is the challenge, right? For I don't care if you're 9 or you're 90, this is the challenge of our lives. To try to live a life that would bring honor and glory to God. And of course, we know we can't not do that on our own strength. It's impossible. So the faith I'm talking about, it's that one that operates in our lives. I'm reminded of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 10. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So we have to do those works, and it has to be faith powered. Can't be human powered. When I read that verse, that was a really revolutionary moment for me in my life. I had just become a Christian, and so I realized now, like, okay, there's the faith I need to believe, and that faith needs to continue to operate in my life so that I can do the works God has called me to do. But the question remains, how, if we are deficient, and I think we can all admit that we are deficient in different areas of our life, how do we become sufficient as it pertains to the outward expression of our faith? In my conversations with other Christians, I often hear, or I've heard the comment, if I only had more faith. If I only had more faith. I've said that myself. But maybe what I'm trying to express here is my own dissatisfaction with my ability, or my inability, I guess you say, to follow hard after God. Don't you ever do that? You get disappointed. It's like, I want to follow the Lord. And yet, it's so easy to not do that. Paul puts it this way. He says, God's desire and our desire hopefully will be the same. And that is that we would be blameless and holy in the presence of God and the Father when the Lord Jesus comes with all His angels. With all His holy ones. So, when God returns, or when Jesus returns to earth, He wants to find us faithful. We want to be found faithful in Him. We want to be a Christian who lacks nothing. We don't want to be hesitant in our following of God. I know we're going to have questions. We're going to have doubts. But we want to keep moving forward in that regard. So here's the good news in all this. I'm just going to kind of wrap this up here. I suppose you already know it, but I'm going to repeat it anyway. And that is, God delights in supplying our deficiencies, or supplying what we lack. God delights. He wants to do that. I admit, and that's the first thing you got to admit. I admit that I lack a lot of stuff. Sometimes I'm not very compassionate. Sometimes I'm not very kind. Just talk to my family sometimes. You know, sensitivity, wisdom. I mean, I all these things I need more of. I need more ambition. I need more discipline. I lack all these areas. The list goes on. But I can rest in the fact, and this is important for all Christians to understand this, the God we serve, He delights in filling up our shortcomings, filling in the gaps, helping us with our inadequacies. So as you go into your new, whatever you're doing this fall, maybe you have a new job, maybe you're going to a new grade in school, or doing all this sorts of stuff, Don't despair. Don't have fear, but live by faith. Here are some of the verses that really, if you're like me, and I sometimes I focus on my deficiencies, and that's not good, because then I get depressed. Well, by the way, one of the things I thought about today was, you know, I was going to ask you when you came in, so how are you feeling today? And I would say, I wanted to break the news to you that it doesn't really matter. I mean, feelings are important, don't get me wrong, but how we feel never changes who God is, okay? We may be feeling down in the dumps. We may feel like we're on cloud nine. You know, whatever we feel, it doesn't really, that doesn't change who God is. But 2 Peter 1:3, here's some of my favorite verses that help me. If you're a type of person like me who gets haunted by your deficiencies, I want to give you hope today. 2 Peter 1:3, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Through our knowledge of Him who calls us by His own glory and goodness. He's called us, so He's not going to leave us hanging. He's going to help us. God never calls His people to be someone He knows you can be that. He's going to give you the resources. I don't think we as Christians hear this message enough. Our goodness as individuals, think about this, is completely dependent upon God's power and goodness in our lives. Okay? We can try our hardest to be good people. Okay? But true goodness really has a source in God. And we got to get God in our life. And then we have to submit to God in our life. Then we can truly be good as God wants us to be. Philippians 4:19. God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ. So, now this verse sounds wonderful and comforting, but really what does it mean? Well, as a Christian, we will never go unsupplied or unfurnished by God with our needs, whatever needs we have. If our Father in heaven, and here's kind of my wrap up, if our Father in heaven was willing to give us His most precious Son, that we might gain eternal life, we can rest assured that He will not withhold anything He deems necessary for us, for our life. He will give us all things. Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? It's a rhetorical question. He did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. How will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? So maybe you're anxious about starting your new college classes. Maybe you're anxious about now you're on the dance team this year, and you know how are you going to be received by the other people on the team? You know, how maybe you're going to driver's ed. You got to get so many hours before you get your license. All these things, they can start make you anxious and stress you out. God will give us all things. Finally, Romans chapter 3, if someone does not have faith, will that nullify God's faithfulness? No. Not at all. Let God be true. Yes, if we're honest with ourselves, we'll come to the conclusion that we are deficient. It's just the way it is. Whether you go into the doctor's office and he says, you got to take more, you're deficient in your iron, or whatever. We come to the conclusion we're deficient in our faith, but let that not get us down. Because remember the God we serve. In our insufficiency, God is all sufficient. This is what He said to Paul. He said, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness." Thank you for listening this morning. I appreciate your participation.